10-4 WHM monitoring.
U4, BDR listening. Over.
M4WHM, W4BDR.
Go ahead, sir.
Morning. Staying cool, I hope.
Of course, you know, I'm always fighting with the wife over the temperature and the thermostat, so, you know. But, yeah, I'm trying to stay cool.
Understand that. I'm lucky. My wife likes it cool, so we keep it set nice and cool in the house. I've been out this morning redoing my antennas. I've had a pass-through through the window, and finally broke down and put a hole in the brick and run them through and got a cover on it and fixing to seal it up now.
Outstanding. Yeah, I'm fixing to do a little antenna work myself. I'm actually going to go get a fence rail from Lowe's here in a few minutes and raise my antenna another 10.5 feet. But I mean, it works great now, but I'm just now figuring it work better a little bit higher. Plus, I'm trying to aggravate the homeowners association. But yeah, of course, you know, aggravating my wife is fun too because I can actually change the thermostat from my computer. So if I'm here in my office and she's changed it, I can just turn around and change it right back.
The antenna higher definitely help. Can't hurt anyway. And yeah, I can adjust the thermostat off my phone from anywhere. So sometimes I'll turn it down and surprise her. HF or just 2 meter?
Just 2 meter, 440. I really don't have the time to study for the general right now. My Elmer has been agging me for years to try and go and get it, but I work too much.
Yeah. I've been putting it off for 9 years, and I finally broke down, and I've been studying for it for about a month, and I think I'm going to try to take it here in the next month or two, depending on when the tests are offered. I work over in Athens, Georgia at the university, and I'm a member of that club as well, and I think they test in August and October, but I'm not sure I'm ready for the August test.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, I do about 80 hours a week. I am a self-employed paralegal, so I work for under contract for attorneys all over the country, and I have most of them are in California, Georgia, Florida, and Texas. So I'm pretty busy with those guys. Dealing with lawyers is kind of akin to herding cats.
Heard that, herding cats. That's the 80 hours a week. That's a lot. I work in IT, and we have our moments where it's busy, but for the most part, I get away with about 50 hours a week, and it's not too bad.
Before I went into law, I was getting between 1 and 2 hours of sleep a night when I had the IT company, so it was like, yeah, I need to get out of this and go do something different. When I worked in an actual law office, it was pretty much a 9-to-5 job. But this is sometimes it almost spirals out of control, but I don't really know how to tell them no. So, you know, if they send a document across my desk, I'll go ahead and just deal with it.
The and work is money, so don't want to turn that down. Especially if you're doing contract work with lawyers all over the country and different time zones, I can see how hours can creep in, that's for sure. M4WHM ID.
Yeah, it gets interesting. I mean, there's some times where I'm up till, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, working on stuff. And I got one lawyer in Texas who gives me about 2 briefs a week, you know, which is nice because it's, you know, it's a couple $1,000 a week from him right there. But those briefs take, you know, between 10 and 15 hours sometimes to write. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'll spend my evening, early morning hours doing his stuff. And then, you know, my regular day hours doing the other assignments from the other lawyers.
Basically, normal 8-hour day, and then I got an hour commute each way, so it fills up the day. But usually, now that I've moved up, I'm actually the director of IT at UGA for Auxiliary Services, which covers 7 departments. And I got a great staff that take care of 99% of everything. It's rare, but I do get that occasional call at 2 a.m. to say, hey, this is going on, and I'll get up and deal with it.
2 a.m. calls that I hated the most when I did IT, but, you know. And now I do IT for myself. You know, I've pretty much set up and secured my own network and whatnot. When I had the company, one of the biggest things we did was network security. So, you know, I've kind of stayed abreast of everything, and I've kept up my, you know, certifications for Microsoft and Cisco and CompTIA and all that stuff over the years. Just as a fallback in case I ever decided to ever go back into it. You know, had one of those crazy moments where I decided to do something stupid.
It's, if you get into it and you're the engineer or software engineer or security or whatever, the hours can be rough. And if you're working for a company, traveling to client sites for sales, engineering, there can be a lot of hours in it, that's for sure. You're probably on the right track with a paralegal, even at 8 hours a week. I used to travel, and when I first got into IT, and it was fun the first time you saw everything 6 times, but after you've been to every city in the East Coast half a dozen times, it gets kind of boring.
I remember we had a lot of, my company was based out of Panhandle of Florida, and we had a lot of resorts and stuff, and they had like corporate offices all over the East Coast, and we had some of the resorts all over the East Coast. So, yeah, I used to do a lot of traveling to these places and, you know, secure their phone systems and their websites and their networks and all that stuff. So, yeah, it was more of a pain in the neck than it was anything else. The money was good. I mean, I took a pay cut to go into law, but, you know, health-wise, I'm much better.
Well, for 7 years, and I did the same thing. I got off the road and took a pay cut to go to work for the state, and I've been doing work for the state for 21 years, so hopefully here in another few years I'll be able to look and draw my pension and do what I want to do instead of what I have to do.
I mean, you know, my benefit too, the other, you know, an additional benefit to my job now is that I pretty much can set my own hours, you know, as long as I get my stuff done. You know, and I know, you know, I know basically by just by looking at what they've sent me, how long it's going to take me to do that project. So I can pretty much gauge, you know, okay, I can get away with doing that tomorrow at 3:30, you know. So I can pretty much set my hours, which is great because I have a 2-year-old, so he requires a lot of my time, you know, so, and so does my wife. And, you know, so I can spend a lot of time with them and just, you know, go and travel and go do things. You know, so like on the weekends when it's not going to rain here in Chesney, I go out with my 22-year-old son to Lake Baylock, and we go fishing and kayaking and have a good time and just, you know, enjoy life and just hang out together. So it's, you know, I get to spend a lot more time with my family, which is great.
Work-life balance and setting your own hours based on what you have to do is definitely an advantage of doing that. I remember those days, and I kind of miss them, but on the same hand, I don't miss the traveling, and like I said, I've managed to move my way up, so it's not too bad. I enjoy working for the University System of Georgia, and I worked at Clemson for 8 years, and I really enjoyed that. And Clemson's a beautiful campus, and so is UGA. And anyway, well, I need to run. I need to go in and finish up the inside work. So I appreciate the conversation, and I hope you have a great day. And be safe, and this is M4WHM. I'll be clear on your phone.
4WHM. Speedy. All right, sir, 73 to you, man. Enjoy the finishing setting up of your antenna, and enjoy the rest of your upcoming week. Have a good one. I'm usually here, so if you, you want to holler out, just call me, and I will. If I'm near the radio, I will answer back. Have a great day. 73, W4BDR, clear but listening.
Number Delta Kilo.
W4NDK, W4DJW. You still there, Nate?
W4NDK.
Are you in Charlotte at the moment?
Sam.
Are you on a beam?
If it's a Comet GP9 vertical, Comet GP9 vertical.
And you're like south of Charlotte, north of Rock Hill?
I'm in the Charlotte city limits. I'm just south of downtown.
Okay, well, you're coming in on the Caesar's Head repeater very well. That's a long distance. That's approximately 100 miles. How much power are you running?
I'm on high power on this Yaesu FTM400XD. I think it has 20 or 25 watts high power. There's a little noise coming back, but when I first got into ham radio, I was really into 2 meters simplex, and I had this antenna mounted up real high. So it's up about 70 feet, and it's a repeater antenna. Over.
It's like a four-way folded dipole or something like that.
It is a, you know, I don't know all the details of it, but it is a, and I took it apart. It has a little, a small ladder line inside of it, yes, so it's a probably a dipole inside of it. It is, it's just a direct, straight, vertical, and it doesn't have any radials coming off of it at the bottom. But it works. It works for me. And I did some research. It works. I got some LMR-400 running up there. I got a tree guide mounted up in the tree. One day it'll fall down, but it's been doing pretty well for the last year and a half. Over.
Well, just letting you know, you sound really good into the 6-1 repeater, and that's that height, 70 feet. That's getting up there. That, and if it's the antenna, I think it is. It's like a four-way folded dipole. Those go a long, long distance. Those are expensive antennas, typically. Anyway, you sound good in Greenville from South Charlotte. Just want to let you know. W4NDK, W4DJW.
W4DJW, W4NDK, I'll log you here. It's good to talk to you. I've probably spoken to you, Steve, before on here. Yeah, I guess it's a four-way folded dipole. I need to do more research on it. I have kind of gotten away from 2 meters. I'll usually do it cross bend repeat to it and walk the dog, but it's been too hot lately. One thing that works for me, and I've looked at geography quite a bit, is if you look at between Caesar's Head and Charlotte, it's probably line of sight, I would assume. It's a line of sight up there in the Brevard area where Caesar's Head is. Over.
Yeah, I used to work in Charlotte, down or uptown Charlotte. Well, Gateway Village, which is down from uptown. But I could go to uptown Charlotte, and I could hit this repeater on my mobile antenna. It's a mag mount on the trunk when I was in uptown Charlotte. Or I could go in a parking garage that, you know, had multiple levels and go to the top level. And I could hit this repeater from there. But that's the only two ways. You got to get that. I don't know what it is. You can pull up Google Earth and you can put a point at each location. And then you can say, show me a vertical slice of the earth going between these two points. And you can see any dirt that's in between you and where you're trying to send your signal. I find that really, really helpful. But I do know that in Charlotte, on a mobile rig, you can get to this repeater if you get some altitude, like in a parking garage, the top of a parking garage. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. You use the same HF antenna that I use. I keep a stock of W5GI mystery antennas because they work so good, and it can't be explained. So I like your... I like your biography on QRZ. It's a good one.
DJW, thank you. W4NDK, I like the W5GI. It's the second one I've owned. The first one I put in a box. The choke ballon on it was causing it not to tune, and I didn't know it was the choke until I took the choke off. I thought it had separated due to the stress of tight between the trees. Yeah, it works good. I was looking at that modified G5 RV yesterday, and people swear by that one. It's got a longer feed line, the longer ladder line. And you know how that becomes a slippery slope. I started thinking about the hex beam, and I don't think I could put a hex beam up. I live in the city, in my backyard. My neighbors would kill me, or just not talk to me anymore, which is fine, I guess. But trying to figure that whole thing out, you know, there's always bigger, better. Although I prefer portable operation more than anything, so maybe I shouldn't invest too much in the home QTH.
Yeah, we have an operator around here that uses the hex beam. I'm trying to think of his call. New York for good. NY4G. NY4G. His name is Ariel. You could look him up. He makes the hex beam, and he does it for portable use. And he like mounts it to the hitch of his truck. when he puts his tent up, his hex beam is mounted to the hitch of his truck, and he makes CW contacts all over the world. He does the soda goat stuff where he conquers mountaintops and activates them and all that kind of stuff. But he believes in that one, the hex beam, for that, strictly for portable use. And I think he does have some parts that, I don't know if he sells kits or if he sells parts or what, but he's got some kind of a thing going on there. He's in retirement. His name's Ariel. So if you're looking at a hex beam, it might be good to hook up with Ariel. He's probably got his email address good on QRZ. But I like that, yeah, and I know the mystery antenna. I get mine from the Wireman. I don't know if you've heard of him, but you can Google the Wireman. He's got a place where he's at most ham fests around the southeast. And he uses coarse grain, copper braided coax. And it's thick, heavy on the center wire. So where he puts the joints for the coax for the mystery antenna, he builds them and sells them already built. He makes them really strong. Right, so typically with a mystery antenna, if you build it yourself, if you use just coax you can get online, sometimes that's the weak point, and that's where they break. That's the way it was for me until I started buying them from him. And now they'll go 2, 3, 4 years with a lot of high winds and things like that, and they just hang right in there. Really, really tough. And he makes one that does... He makes a W5GI that will do 160. It's a little bit longer than the typical W5GI. So I don't know if you've ever contacted him, but if you need one in a hurry and you need it to be really strong, he's a good person to get it from. W4DJW.
Well, thanks, W4DJW. I probably should have looked. I did see the Wireman sold it. I was worried about the fact that it seems like he's been not around as much, and his family might be running the company now. But the K4TR is who I bought it from, the guy in Florida. He's the other one who sells it. I don't know if you've seen him. But it looks like that was the original one I had, too, from K4TR. I bought the original one used from a kid in an 18-year-old kid in Concord. They work great. I love those antennas. But the hex beam is the next. I just have to figure out if I use a hex beam portable. I don't know. I like to get out of the car, so I don't want to be stuck to the hitch. I want to walk away from the car. I bought a separate 891. I have an 891 mounted in the car, a Yaesu, and I have a second one for portable that I put in a backpack. And that's what I want to do. I've got to have something I can deploy pretty quickly. And I may get a fishing rod slingshot. I've got one of those pre-bags. Over.
Yeah, I've tried those too. I know what you're talking about. The wrist rockets. And I settled in with one of those, the big shot, the one that tree fellers use, that shoots hacky sacks rather than just lead sinkers. Hacky sack, the problem is coming down the other side of the tree. It's not getting up there over the tree. It's getting down through the tree limbs on the other side with where you want, and keeping the wind from blowing the rope over off the top of the tree. And I know what you're talking about. But anyway, Nate, I won't keep you. I just heard you in there and saw that you were from Charlotte and just wondered if you were down here mobile or if you were still in Charlotte. So you got a good signal into the CaesarSat repeater from South Charlotte. Good luck with your antennas. I like playing around with antennas as well. And good talking to you. W4NDK, W4DJW.
JW, David, nice to meet you. W4NDK, 73, I'll be clear with you.
DJW, K4OIM.
Good morning, Walt. How you doing?
Oh, better than I was Wednesday morning. I thought I was having another stroke right when I was about to end the net Tuesday night. I went to the emergency room, spent the night down there, and one of the doctors came in, and when he sat down, I knew it wasn't going to be good. I've been having numbness in my leg from my waist down. When I go to bed, I wake up and have to throw the cover back to see if I remember to take my pants and my boots off. And when he sat down, he said that when I broke my neck, I done a lot of nerve damage. And then when a neurosurgeon had to put those six plates in there, he had to cut some nerves to get the plates in. And what's happening, I've got what they call uropathy. And he said it. No matter what anybody tried to tell me on the news or on Facebook and all that stuff, there ain't no cure for it. He said it's gradually going to get worse or it could speed up. But the bad news, I'm going to lose the use of both of my legs. And I'll end up in a wheelchair, he said it. Could be 2 or 3 years down the road, or maybe 2 or 3 months. But they upped my medication for it. I walk around like I'm drunk. Yeah, but I'll get plenty of time on the radio. I was right in the middle of filling a deck on my shack out here, 8x10. And my 5-year-old grandson got out here yesterday morning and helped me finish that up and get it painted. And the reason I want to call you back, how much does Wireman get for that mystery antenna, Dave?
I can look it up. I went to the Waynesville Ham Fest and he was up there. And he had kits that you can build yourself. I wanted one built by him, but so I didn't get a kit. I've got a couple of spares that I keep just in case, because once in a while, I mean, it used to be when I was building them, they broke all the time. But now that I buy them from him, they're not. But I like to keep a spare. So I went over there and looked at what he had, and it was like $60-something for the kit. And it was well over $100 for this 160 meter version of it, the one that would do 160. And I don't care anything about doing 160. So he didn't have what I was looking for, but I can go up to his website and look it up. I think he has all the prices on his website.
$1 W4NDK.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate that.
I'm there and probably go up there next week and get me. I don't know. I'm trying to save my money up to go to Shelby. I don't know what I'm looking for. I was wanting to give me an amp, something to do 500 or 800 watts. But since all this is going on with my health, I don't know if I want to spend the money on that or not. I know I'm going to get a 2-meter beam. But, the Wireman's, his daughter, no, the Wireman's wife is my grandmother's sister. So maybe I can get a discount. I know when I go up there to get something, I cannot get away. She just wants to stand there and talk. I went up there the other week and got some coax and some PL259 connectors. And she left the building and let the kids run it and got the truck with me and went out there at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church where my grandparents are buried, and it'd be her aunt. And I spent 2 hours up there talking, catching up on old times and old relatives, but I enjoy going up there and talking to them.
Well, it's a small world. My son is related to them, too, through his grandmother. She was a Pruitt, and they got Pruitt somewhere in their line. And or before she was a Pruitt, I forget what it was before that. But that's the way it's her maiden name, not her married name. Anyway, it makes him related to them as well. So by marriage, I would be, I would have been related to them, not anymore. But that's a small world. They're related to a lot of people. Anyway, they are nice people. They're good to talk to. But you do need to call them before you go up there, because they are kind of, I just order mine from them and it comes within a day or two. But, I think they like it if you call up, because they're not always there out there at the shop, W4DJW.
I'm surprised that people that get up there, or when they turn up Pittman Road, they get up there and don't know which road to turn back to get up to the shop and go way on up there into that subdivision. But I grew up about a mile up the road from Pittman Road. Hank Pittman was my grandmother's brother, and he was a moonshiner. And back when I first got my driver's license, about 16, I got up there and wanted to make some money, and he had a 64 Ford with a 394 speed in it. Man, I wanted that car. And he told me, he said, "Well, you make a couple of runs down to Atlanta, you can have that car." And I done it. I run some liquor there for, well, I done it for about a year. I wasn't even 18 years old. But everybody up there back then made liquor.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I know my dad's family did that when we lived over in Tennessee. And he left all that to go to Flint, Michigan, where I was born, to get away from all of that. Because, I don't know, a lot of them did that when General Motors was getting going good. He went up there and worked for AC Spark Plug in Flint, Michigan, and that's where my sister and I were born. And then he came down here to go to Clemson when I was about 6 or 7 years old. So, and we've been down here ever since. Well, back and forth a whole lot, but settled in down here. But moonshining, it sounded like that was a popular thing, no matter what state you were in the Southeast, back 60 years ago.
That Ford had my load on it. I went to Greer, and there's a bar over there on 29 called the Roadside. I'd go in there and get me one of them girls. You want to make $100? And you know what she thought I wanted. I'd get her in the car and we'd get a bottle of white shoe polish and wrote "Just Married" all over that thing and hit 85. I mean, that's one way I got away from it, but I got my draft notice just a month or so after I turned 18, and I went and joined the Navy to get away from all that stuff. And my uncle, he owns all that property there where the hang gliders land.
I used to go up there and watch them. That's over there on, what's the name of that subdivision up there on the mountain? It starts with a C. I can't think of it at the moment. I went on the Wireman site and I found the original W5GI for $125. I found three of them. The kit for $62, the original that does, you know, down, it'll do 80 for $125. And then he's got an enhancer that you can add to it for $20. I think that's the enhancer is the thing that you can get for, you can get down to 160, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he's got three different ways of getting a mystery antenna. 62 and it's just a kit and you finish it yourself. 125, he did all the hard work. An extender you can put on it, or enhancer you can put on it to make it even better for another 20.
I'm not that interested in 160. There's a guy been getting on here wanting information about getting putting 10 meters in his car. And somebody tells him it's easy, just as easy as a CB. But I can't imagine anybody wanting to put a 10 meter in their car now. The way the sunspot cycle is, 10 meters is hardly ever open now.
Well, because of the rules, the FCC rules, I think you find some technicians that can use portions of that band and 6 meters. I know Jim, KI4MLN, Jim, before he got his general, he didn't want to go get his general. He wanted to be able to talk on HF, and he was an ex-CBer that became a ham radio operator. And I think he wanted to be able to talk on 10 meters and 6 meters. And he could with his technician, but it was very, very limited what he could do. And instead of going and studying and taking the general, he would rather do that. So I think that's some motivation for some people that just don't want to go take the test, but they do want to talk on HF.
And from 28.3 to 28.5 on 10, I don't know what it is on 6. I've got a 6-meter dipole out here that's brand new. I ain't been able to get it up, and I'm sitting out here on my new porch. Few minutes ago drinking coffee, and I got to looking at the tree limbs, and I went up to up above Fletcher about a month ago. This lady had her husband had become a silent key, and she had a Ken Pro 2 straight key. She had it listed on there for $40. And I drove all the way up there. Well, my daughter did. And I bought the key and looked around over there in the corner. And I had heard of them, but I kind of knew what they looked like. I seen this thing made out of a PVC pipe. And I walked over there. I said, "Is this an antenna launcher?" She said, "I think it is. If you want it, take it. I ain't got no use for it." So I've got me an antenna launcher now. And, man, before I got out of there, I ended up buying a legal limit MFJ antenna tuner, a Pyramid 20-amp power supply, Lafayette HA600 shortwave receiver, and then a Lafayette HA63 receiver. And she turned around and gave me a Anderson Powerpole distribution box, and then a whole box of components like resistors and capacitors and IC chips, all in package new. So I've got all kind of parts now, but I got to get here and get my shack cleaned up and all. All I got in here now that's halfway straight is where the living room was, where I've got my radio equipment. And the bedroom is full of boxes and stuff that was stored back there. I'm cleaning all that out. Since we moved up here, there's an outside storage building. Yeah, I'm going to get that stuff out and set it out here on the porch and get my daughter to tote it back there to the storage building, because I sure can't do it with my legs the way they are. But it's good talking to you, Dave.
Repeater timeout exit. Repeater timeout clear.
I think it just happened on your transmission instead of mine. We probably weren't letting it drop far enough, so that's just as much my fault as it is yours, Walt. But I did hear you about ready to drop it. But I was going to ask you before you go if you can send on a straight key. I started learning on that till Jim dropped his paddle off over here one day, and I played around with it, and then I couldn't go back to a straight key. W4DJW.
Novice from 1978, when I first got licensed. I held a novice ticket up to 2017. When I went and took the test for my technician and went back the next month and got my general. So, yeah, I had to use a straight key. Well, I could have used a paddle, but I learned on a straight key, and I love both of them. I use straight key more than any of them. So, I'll say 7-3s and clear out, Dave, on your final. So, 7-3s.
All right, well, I started learning on straight key, and I did pretty good until I switched to the paddle one time, and then I never could go back to straight key. My dad used to teach CW in the Army, and he would pass an oscillator back and forth between us on the straight key when I was young learning it. So I enjoyed learning on that, but boy, once I got onto the paddle, I never could go back. I'm not like you. I couldn't do it. Anyway, good talking to you this morning. Take care. Hope you have a good day. K4OIM, W4DJW, clear.
W4DJW, K4OIM, I'm clear.
W4DJW, KK4JD.
KK4JD, W4DJW, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. I've heard you on the radio lots, and I didn't realize you were from Flint, Michigan, which is where I was born and raised.
What part of Michigan? I was born in Flint, but didn't live there but about 6 years before getting out of Dodge. leaving all of my cousins and everybody used to live up there. Had four sisters that my mother was one of four sisters, and they all had kids, and most everybody lived up there. But eventually, one by one, they all moved down here.
Flint, Michigan. That's where I lived up until I moved down here about, I guess, 13, 14 years ago now. But yeah, I still got some family down there, and I got a couple of nieces that moved down here about the same time I did. But yeah, it's interesting.
So it's a small world. Didn't know anybody else even knew where Flint, Michigan was. My cousins used to say the same thing. I think a lot of people that are living down here that are from up there, they used to tell each other, "We're the last one out. Please turn off the lights." Last one out of Michigan.
Well, yeah, I love it here. I really enjoying the hot weather. Actually, I got kind of burnt out from Michigan winters and whatnot. And if it's warm outside, I'm happy.
That's the one thing I like the most about being down here is I would go outside until I couldn't stand it anymore. I'd come back in and I'd huddle by the heater until I got warm enough to have feeling in me again, and then I'd be back outside. And a few minutes later, I'd be back inside. And I hated that. I was so glad when we moved down here and you could walk around in a T-shirt.
Quite the change. Well, like I said, I'm pretty happy to be here. Okay, Dave, I won't keep that. I just happened to listen to your cue, and I'll chime in for a second.
All right, Joe. Well, it's good to know. Good to know there's somebody else from a fellow Michigander that's down here. Take care. KK4JD, W4DJW.
Dave, W4DJW, KK4JD, clear.
OIM, KO4CEF. Walt, you still around?
Here, Andrew.
Here you on. I didn't know if you want to try to work some CW.
Busy, Andrew. I got a mess in my shack where I built my deck, and I've got to get it out here and get my daughter to tow it out there and put it in the storage building. Maybe I can this afternoon. Doggone it. Smell of bread, man. My health is going down quick, Andrew. I found out Wednesday I'm going to use of both of my legs and end up in a wheelchair, and don't know when that's going to happen. But I'm, I've got the radio on all day down here. Contact me, about 4 o'clock. If you're not busy then, yeah, we'll work some CW.
Good. I'm glad to hear you got your deck done. I hate to hear about your health issues, but, yeah, I can do that. I'll definitely be around. Wife and kids are gone, so I'm just sitting at the house today.
Mess out there in the yard down. Pile of scrap lumber, and my daughter said, Daddy, you can just build a bonfire and burn all that. I said, what are you talking about? That's firewood for this winter. Go in the fireplace. It's a pine. I know you're not supposed to burn pine. You can burn pine in fireplace, but it's dangerous about building up crisol. But these are just short pieces of 2x6s and 2x4s, and I'm going to split them up for kindling to start the fire. Man, my little 5-year-old grandson, I don't know what I'm doing out here building this deck. He would go to the other end and hold my tape measure, and he helped me. Little booger, he got up here and helped me nail the decking down, and he never bent one nail. I measured off him for 16 inches, and he'd go down through there. I'd put an X mark where I wanted the nail at, and I'd be on the other side. I'd go down the ends and down the sides, and I'd be done before he got started. I just move on to the next project and let him go ahead and finish that job up. He got up here yesterday, let the repeater drop. Here when I got the pain out, he got him a roller and he started rolling. And he didn't know it had to be fully covered. And I was going back over what he had done. He said, Papa, don't do that. I've already painted that side. But boy, he was a big help to me. He loves working and helping his papa. So I'm going to say 7-3s, Dave, and get all this stuff out of the shack floor and out there on the porch where she can put it in the storage building. And, try to get back about 4 o'clock. And we'll work a little CW. So with that, I'll say 7-3s, and I'll be clear on your power, Andrew.
Well, you be careful out there. It's been about 87 degrees, and I think the heat index is about 91 at my house. So definitely be careful. But yeah, I'll give you a holler later on this evening. KO4CF, and I'll be clear.